Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Don't sweat the technique. You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Brennan.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
No Blankers today. Will Kunkel, at Will Kunkel Fox on Twitter. Host of Kicking It with Kunkel. Filling in for Blankers. How is Will done? 713-780-ESPN.
Said, let me have it.
Let him have it. We don't do compliments on the Killer Bees. At least I don't. You guys sound great. Cool. My love language is insults and hate. Spew it all. A couple of updates from Astro. Joe Espada's availability before the game. Where do you stand in the little media scrum before game? Do you like to sit on the bench? Do you like to get eye to eye? What's your positioning for the Espada scrum?
I actually like to sit next to him because of my mic, so I don't have to reach through all the cameras. But there is a certain individual that is obsessed with sitting next to him as if it's their spot. And the only reason I like to get there is so that I don't reach through everybody, and TV people have the same situation. So when I try to sit next to him, I'll offer to hold all the microphones for all the stations to help out. But there's one person that thinks that's their spot and they own it. And it's wild because it's so self-serving.
Is it a man or a woman?
I don't know.
Yes, you do. You just said it was the certain person. You just don't want to say.
That's
so
right.
Just say that.
I don't want to say.
Okay. I have two guesses, but I don't want to. Yeah, you're
actually. I mean, if you went and saw one picture, you could probably figure it out. I'll tell you this, it's not Julia, because Julia sits next to him because they're the station and that.
Oh, then it's Adam Spillane.
I'm not saying who it is or is not.
Okay. But it's not Adam. I am going to call BS on you, though. I don't think it's because you want the microphone there. I think it's because you want your pretty face on all the shots.
So I see that when it happens, and it's so awkward, and it takes all the photographers off. But here's the thing. If I stood where they're standing, they'd be way more ticked off, like in the Texans locker room, because sometimes I'll stand like side by side of the player. That way I can hold my mic up to them. But if I stood where they would want me to, they'd be more annoyed because that's the shot they want. They want that presidential head on. But, you know, photogs are always like curmudgeons.
I'm going to start looking for this to see if I can detect it. I can't believe it wasn't one of those two. I thought it'd be one of those two for sure.
But you know who I'm not? I'm not the guy with the cell phone up in the player's face. That way no one can get a good shot.
Oh, yeah, because then you ruin the shot for everybody.
For everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, there is courtesy to that. Like there's a little bit of a standard there, for sure. DeAndre, one time I used to cover the Texans beat for another station in town, and DeAndre Hopkins knocked the recorder out of my hand. It wasn't my fault either. I was not close. He just kind of like reached and knocked. He apologized to me. I was like, it's all right, DeAndre. You're good. If this was like Kiki Cutie, then we might have an issue. But because you're DeAndre Hopkins, it's all good. Anyways, from Leah Van, Joe Espada says Renell Blanco will go on the IL. Not a surprise there. Anytime you have elbow shoulder surgery or shoulder injury, you know, IL. But he says he'll be getting a second opinion. Why do people get second opinions? Because they didn't like the first opinion. So not great news there.
It's like mom said no. What do you think, Dad?
Yeah, exactly. I always cringe at second opinions. I always cringe when a pitcher has elbow shoulder injuries, and always cringe at a second opinion. So it seems like that news is inevitable. Knock on wood. And then Espada said Yordan is better and was hitting in the cages, but he has no update on his return. So no news there. He's just better. He's been better like every day. And then Arrighetti is gripping and throwing without the cast today. So that's your one promising piece of news, is that he's gripping and throwing. Now, he's still a ways away because he's got to be built up and all that stuff, but a step in the right direction, I guess.
Is that a good break? Is that all good news, bad news? Where do you sit?
Arrighetti's is good news.
Yep.
Rennell's is terrible news. I mean, I think that's the precursor to them announcing season-ending surgery.
60-day next.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with, like, second opinion. Like, anytime it's elbow or shoulder, I automatically think the worst. And then you throw second opinion there, I have two automatically think the worst situations going on right now. That's not good.
What you're doing for a second opinion is one guy says, here's the best way to go about this situation, or you could do this route. And now you're going to go to the second doctor and say, do you agree with these are our two routes? Like, for instance, no throwing for a month, and then we'll see how we feel, or just going to the knife now. That's typically your options.
I'm a fan of just getting the surgery done immediately.
Yeah. In hindsight, you always are, but I don't mind waiting a month to see if
how we are.
You know what I'm saying?
No, a month's not bad. I thought you meant like, you know, try to kind of pitch through it and stuff like
that.
Oh, no,
I don't like pitching through that stuff.
No,
I don't like that at all.
If you get diagnosed with you should have surgery, like to me, you get it as soon as possible.
100%.
Now, if you need to wait for the swelling to go down and, you know, it enhances the chances of recovery and it's good to wait 3 to 4 weeks, okay. Like I'm here for that, but don't pitch on it again. So that's not good news. The Yordan news, I guess, is neutral. Like, he's feeling better. Cool. I've heard that for 2 weeks. Like, that does nothing for me.
I love the fact that he's actually – do we know that he's hitting in the cages?
I mean, Espada said he was, so you have to take him for what he's worth, or you can think he's lying.
I don't think he's – I don't think Joe lies. I genuinely believe that.
I'm with you on that. I don't think he's a liar.
Yeah, I don't think Joe lies. I think that so often with these coaches, no matter the sport, they also like to claim – like they don't get told stuff maybe at some points, or at least not before they talk to the media, so that way they don't have to lie. Mm-hmm. Like Ron Rivera, when I covered the Panthers, was famous for, I haven't talked to the trainers yet, because he intentionally held his trainer meetings after the press conference.
They did on purpose.
Which is fine. Like, I don't care. That's fine. I just don't, like, Joe, I don't think lies to us.
I think a lot of Joe, too, is he hears the narrative. Like, he does. Like, he's even talked about it. And you can tell with some of his answers that he's heard the narrative and, like, what exists out there, like the noise. I think part of whenever he took the job was he wanted to be more transparent, but it's just very difficult for him to be transparent. I do think that he does a decent job at that when he can. But I'm with you. I've never really caught Joe in a lie. Like Nick Caserio, I catch in lies all the time. Like Nick Caserio, I don't know what a window is. Okay, bro. Like you've been a sports fan for 40 years. You know what a window is. Or the, like, I don't know what drafting by need is. Okay, bro. Like you've been a sports fan for 40 years. You know exactly what it is. And then he went on the Chris Sims show the other day. And he's like, oh yeah, if we have two players graded the same and one is like a position we're not great at, then we would use that to break the tie. That's what drafting by need is, Nick. And you know that. You're being disingenuous. You would catch Dusty in some lies at times. I mean, you see. I haven't really caught Joe in one. Really. I haven't caught D'Amico in one either, really. Like, D'Amico just won't tell you stuff. Like, you ask D'Amico an injury thing, if it's not long-term, we'll see where he lands at the end of the week.
Yeah, we'll see.
Cool.
We'll see, and that's fine with me again.
Same.
And I think most, like, this is not a cop-out, but coaches and managers, whatever, are not doctors. Like they're getting their information from the doctor. It's not up to the coach. They're literally telling you what they're the messenger for the trainers and doctors. That's all they are. They don't go in there, look at Yordan's hand and do some tests and be like, yeah, I think Yordan's 2 days away. Joe has nothing to do with it.
No, you're right. It's more like, hey, it's day to day. No, you're right about that. McTaggart, I guess, did have an add-on to the Yordan thing that he's taking batting practice off coaches in the cage. So that's a step in the right direction. I don't think a return is imminent, but batting practice versus a T is positive. That's good, I guess. Will Kunkel, Fox, is reporting that the Astros are going to call up Colton Gordon. So, like, that's the one, I guess, glimmer of good news in the Ronel Blanco injury is that you needed an injury to recall Colton Gordon by MLB rule. And I do want him in the rotation. So it's not good the way that he's coming back, but I do like that Colton Gordon's going to fill out the rotation. Forrest Whitley angst exists. He got touched up yesterday. First time he's ever given up an earned run as a Major League Baseball pitcher, by the way, yesterday. And I'm seeing a narrative on the internet that people want to move on from Forrest Whitley. Like, he's out of options, so it does make it a little tricky. You can't send him down to AAA. He has to be either on the big league team or he has to be on the IL. Why are people jumping to conclusions with Forrest Whitley after 6 big league innings over 5 big league appearances?
Because it's been 10 years?
Yeah, good answer.
I mean, at some point, you know, do it or get off the pot.
Yeah. He's cheap, though. Like, he's cheap.
Right. But you can't waste a roster spot either.
Yeah, but who are you calling up to fill up, like, one of the bullpen spots? Nick Hernandez, go Cougs. I love him. But, I mean, Forrest Whitley has a very good stuff and has high-end potential. Like, you're not moving on from Forrest Whitley yet. Now, if he has a span of 20 appearances where he's getting shelled, okay, let's have a conversation. But his potential is too high to give up on him anytime soon.
At what point is his potential simply that?
I think if we see like 20 appearances, he's getting shelled. Like yesterday was his only bad big league outing. He's made 5 big league appearances, and 4 of them have been okay. One, he got roughed up, and it was the most recent, so recency bias here. But I actually believe in Forrest Whitley. Like, and let me put precursors on here. I don't believe in Forrest Whitley as a top of the rotation starter. I believe in Forrest Whitley as a middle reliever. Like, that can be a decent middle reliever. Not even like a setup guy or a closer, but can he be in the middle of a bullpen and be a pretty good weapon for you? I believe that he can. I think he has the stuff that he can do that.
He definitely has the stuff to where he can, but I think with him, it's the age-old adage of best ability is availability. He can't just bounce back and forth from active roster to IL to bad outing to two good outings back to the IL. Like, I don't think that's sustainable to have that guy on your roster to do that.
The IL doesn't hurt him, though, because, like, if he's not pitching well, okay, well, he's taking up a roster spot for somebody who might be pitching well. If he's on the IL, he's not taking up a roster spot.
You're right.
So, like, his injury stuff is, like, I mean, obviously, you're right. Like, it'd be great if he could just stay healthy and then, like, find his potential and pitch well. So that adds to the frustration. But in terms of, like, creating a roster spot, it doesn't hurt the Astros when he's on the IL.
But doesn't it prevent you from going out and finding a guy that's going to be there
a permanent
25
guy,
out of 30 days, you know?
Like, if you were hell-bent on, hey, we need a fourth reliever that is going to – or third reliever or whatever – that's going to be a permanent piece of our rotation, and we need to clear a spot on the roster for somebody who is out of options, and we need that roster spot, then yes. Yes, but that's not if he's injured, though, because he's not taking up that spot. If he's injured, it actually helps his cause to stay on the team. Him pitching poorly is what hurts his cause, because if he has a run of, you know, 15, 20 appearances and he's got an ERA, like flirting with a 10 ERA, and you have a dude in AAA, or maybe you want to make a trade to your point and you need that roster spot, that's when it becomes tricky. Whitley getting hurt preserves his roster spot.
I don't think so because you've got to be able to count on him in at least at some point in this season, whether it comes August or September. You got to say, hey, can we rely on Forrest to be healthy at this date for the playoff push? And if he's not, we got to go find someone that we can rely on in order to have, versus we just got to plug his spot now that he's on the IL.
Well, I mean, the IL is easy to just hide a guy, though.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, if it becomes so late in the season and all of a sudden he gets hurt, you're stuck with who you have the ability, like who you have on your AAA squad or whoever you want to pull up to fill in for Forrest, versus addressing it now with a stopgap for the entire season, like somebody that you're relying on.
That would probably happen like what,
right,
mid-July at the earliest. So
exactly,
he's got like maybe a 2-month lease to see if he is capable.
Exactly, like you've got to be available at the very least, and then hopefully you pitch well. But if you're not available, no, you're not wasting a roster spot, but you're also putting the team in a predicament to where that roster spot really isn't being utilized to its fullest.
So 2 weeks, or 2 months rather. Like, let's see what the next 2 months looks like. The let's get rid of him now narrative, it's weird to me. Like, let's see what it looks like for 2 months.
It's not necessary to get rid of him now.
No, it's not. He's cheap. He does have a lot of talent. Now, if he doesn't pitch well over the next 2 months, okay, let's have the conversation July 15th. Jasper, I like big bunts, and I cannot lie. Not your best work, Jasper, but I appreciate the effort. First place team in town, win 3 out of 4, you're back in it. How much faith do you have in the Astros winning 3 of 4 against Seattle, against that pitching staff?
They can lose 3 of 4 to anybody. They can win 3 of 4 against anybody. That's the way I feel about this team.
That is true. How are injury reports not HIPAA law violations? The CBA makes it a little bit different. So, like, with the CBA, you can do HIPAA and stuff like that, from what I've read.
Does that really come into play? Like, the CBA allows for that?
I think so. I think because
like it has to be allowed?
Yeah, in professional sports. Like, I think there's something to do with the collective bargaining agreement where the HIPAA law, the privacy stuff, goes out the window. It's why they can get away with injury reports and talking about medical stuff. I'm pretty confident in that, like 70% confident, not 100, 70.
That sounds good. I'm in on it.
Yeah, like Dusty would always throw the HIPAA stuff out there, and it wasn't true. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's get to the move the needle. How much do the NBA Conference Finals move your needle? How much do the NHL Conference Finals move your needle? 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You found the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Who's there?
Hello, you there? Can you hear me?
I can now. Knock, knock.
What happened? Ryan,
I had no audio.
Right, Brian's not running the board at the moment. I'm told. I'm told Ryan's running the board at the moment. Ryan, what happened, Ryan? This is your first crack at running the board full time, and you screwed it up.
Yeah, that's my bad. So buttons are right next to each other. And apparently when you move one instead of the other one, it is incorrect.
Apparently one button does a different job than the other button.
Pretty much exactly. You would learn that in producing school. Don't worry, Ryan. I blame your teacher. But I hope you like working for free the rest of your life, because this is we're not paying you for this. You can't turn on the right button. Then you're not making any money. I'm just teasing. Anyways, what moves your needle more, Will? The NBA Conference Finals or the NHL Conference Finals?
Overall, the NHL. But this year in the NBA playoffs have been awesome, and I grew up a Pacers fan, so I love watching the Pacers and Knicks because it's a flashback to the 90s, and last night's game was just crazy, and that series is going to be so fun to watch. And I don't really care about the other series, to be honest.
Yeah. The Reggie Miller might have been my favorite non-Houston Rocket growing up, and it was strictly because he told Spike Lee that the Knicks choked. Like, that's why I loved Reggie as much as I loved Reggie. And then you had Halliburton doing the choking gesture. Now, a bit premature. He's very lucky that they won the game in overtime after he did the choke. He thought it was a three, tied the game with a two, got the members bounced there at the Garden. There is a stat that I saw yesterday, that NBA teams were 0-970 in the playoffs over the last 27 years when trailing by 14 points with under 250 left in regulation. The Pacers are the first team in 971 tries in nearly three decades to accomplish what they accomplished yesterday in that comeback at the Garden.
And the Stars had something like that as well. They're the first team in NHL history to complete multiple comebacks in the third period down multiple goals. Wow. So yesterday was a wild night of sports. And I feel for those that aren't NHL fans or have written off the NBA, because the NBA's got its problems, and I have criticized them endlessly for those. But this year's playoffs have been awesome. So anyone that's not an NHL fan or have just kind of written off the NBA in general, I feel for you this year, because both have been really fun so far.
NBA Conference Finals. And to me, it depends on the conference. Because I'm with you. Like, I'm more even though the Rockets are a Western Conference team, I'm more intrigued with the Eastern Conference Finals, because it kind of does dust off an old rivalry. And I hate the Knicks. Like, I don't like the Knicks. So it's very easy to root against the Knicks. Like, it adds to my intrigue there. So I'd say the Eastern Conference Finals, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the worst, 10 being the highest, moves my needle about an 8. The other conference final out in the West with Minnesota fighting for their lives against Oklahoma City. Now, I do like how Oklahoma City built their roster, but that's not as much intrigue to me. So I'll give that one a 7. Not too far off, but give me an 8 in the East and a 7 in the West.
I love Anthony Edwards, though, man. I do love the way he plays the game. It's so much fun to watch. Shea, the way he draws fouls, I could do without. And that's my biggest problem with the NBA outside of load management is that, you know, it's that acting and trying to draw fouls and flopping that I just can't respect it. So wow. Therefore, I can't watch it if I don't respect it. It's the same way I don't like, you know, soccer from South America. It's that flopping that I don't respect.
So I don't blame the player whenever they're doing this. Like, why does Jalen Brunson get criticism for scoring? Like, he is doing something in a game that is getting him to the free throw line, that is adding points to his team's ledger. Same thing with SGA. Like, if they're going to call it, why wouldn't you do it? To me, it's smart basketball. I don't blame the player there. Now, I do think that there's blame to be given for that. It's on the refs. Stop falling for it. Stop calling it. If we want to get that out of the game, it's not going to be the players that get it out of the game. It's going to be the referees that get it out of the game. It's the same thing with flopping. Like, how do we get flopping out of the game? Like, oh, we fine them. We give them technical, all this stuff. No, the refs just have to stop calling it. You have to stop falling for the trick. So I don't blame Brunson or SGA. I blame the officiating.
No, first of all, you're right. Like, 100% they have to officiate it or legislate it out of the game somehow. But with that being said, I don't watch the officiating. I watch the players, and I don't like the way he plays because of it. And so that's why I say it that way. I don't like watching them play that way. I hate it.
Yeah. No, I can hear you on that. But if like, I'm a player, and my goal and objective is to win, and I can realize that, like, I can get an easier path to scoring points on the offensive end because of the way the game's being officiated, I'm doing it. Just like if I were a pitcher and the home plate umpire is giving me 3 inches on each corner, I'm throwing it out there. So how do you, like, police it? It's really on the officials. Now, you don't have to like that brand. It's completely fair. Harden did it for years in Houston, obviously. And, you know, the Twitters are out there with SGA and Jalen. All right, let's get to the hockey side of it. 713-780-ESPN. How much to the hockey side? Move your needle. Also, interesting thing came up in the group chat yesterday, which is rare, very rare for that to happen. I have a couple of buddies rooting for the Dallas Stars in this series against the Edmonton Oilers. Now, Houston, of course, doesn't have an NHL team. Dallas is the only NHL team in the Lone Star State. They're facing a Canadian team, too, so now you have maybe country rivalry here going on. If you're an NHL fan, and because you in Houston, and because you don't have an allegiance anywhere, is it okay to actually root for Dallas? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. If you're a business owner, it's okay to get a little bit of help for a variety of reasons. One, it's going to help your business grow. It's going to make your business better. And then you can spend your time and resources in areas that you rather spend your time and resources. Moment on HR&P, Human Resources and Payroll. It's Cougar Home by my colleague, Go Cougs. He used to protect a Heisman Trophy winner. Now he wants to protect your business. Business owners, let HR&P help you. They can help you with HR compliance. They can help you with benefits administration. They can help you with payroll, onboarding, many different areas. There's no boxes with HR&P. Doesn't matter how small the job, how big the job, HR&P is going to sit you down and completely customize a plan for what you and your business needs. You have an issue, you have a problem, you want to take a little bit off your plate, you just don't like a certain area of, you know, you having to handle that aspect of your business, that's fine. HR&P is going to find a way to help you and make your business thrive. And they do it in a way that's unique. Technology meets service. The technology is fantastic. It is elite. But their service is at a different level. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to a stranger. You'll be talking to someone who knows you and they know your business needs. We use HR&P here at Gal, and I can attest to that. Give them a call, 281-880-6525, 281-880-6525. Let HR&P customize a plan for you. Check them out online, too, hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Bradham.
NHL Conference Finals. You have the Panthers and the Hurricanes in the East. Florida leads a game to one. You have Stars and the Oilers out in the West. Dallas leads the series one game to none. The come from behind that you mentioned yesterday. Dallas is excited. Dallas is fantastic. They're very happy about the Stars in the Lone Star State. How much do the NHL playoffs, Eastern and Western Conference Finals, move Kunkel's needle?
It's moved to midnight, baby. I love it.
Okay. All right. I don't have a rooting interest here, really, so mine are less than the NBA conference finals. I'll put it like at a 5. If they're on TV whenever I'm home, like, I'll turn it on and I'll watch it. It's not appointment television for me. I'll look up the score, keep track of it, stuff like that. But an interesting conversation came up in the group chat yesterday, and very little interesting conversations happened there. But it actually came up yesterday. I had a couple of friends in the group chat that were pulling for the Dallas Stars, and their theory, their idea was that it's the only team in Texas, they're going to root for the only team in Texas. And they certainly can't root for a Canadian team. They can't have that. My point is, how in the world could you root for Dallas? As I sit here in the Dallas Metroplex, I better whisper down a little bit. People might hear me. I can't root for Dallas. I'm sorry. Give me the Edmonton Oilers. They shared a nickname with Houston once upon a time. They have oil up in Edmonton. We have oil down here in Houston. We like the Oilers nickname. I can't root for a Dallas team, even though they're the only NHL team in the Lone Star State, following the NHL in Houston. Don't have a team here, obviously. I can't pull for Dallas.
Are all your buddies Houston fans of everything else?
Yes. Yes. They hate Dallas, too.
So
it's weird.
Where else could you get away with that? Because you certainly, you know, hypothetically speaking, if New York didn't have a whatever team, you're not cheering for the Boston version.
Right.
You can't do that in Ohio, the Detroit version of whatever you don't have.
No. You could. That's a great point. Like, one of the buddies is a big Aggie. Like, if they didn't have, let's say the Aggies didn't have baseball, which some Longhorns would suggest they don't have.
Do they have baseball?
they're still alive and well in the SEC tournament. They play LSU.
You
tomorrow.
Know what their roster costs for baseball?
Here, hit me with it.
Well into the 7 figures.
Okay, I believe it. Yeah, I believe it.
Houston's is significantly less than that, so that's why A&M, it's hilarious to see them not even, you know, if you're going to pay, you better win. Like, Ohio State football had that wild number on their roster, but they won it all. So, like, whatever.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's becoming pro sports. Like, the sooner we realize that college sports are pro sports, I think the more we're okay with, like, the financial aspect of it. And we start looking at it more as, like, big market, mid-market, low market, like we look at other sports, especially baseball. I relate it to baseball a lot. Like, you have the Yankees of the world, Mets, Angels. Not so much the Angels. Angels is bad money. Yeah. But you have those big markets that always spin, and they're always going to have a winning team. Maybe not a championship team, but always a winning team. And then you have your low market teams, Pirates, Royals, Rays, A's, who are always low budget, and then, you know, maybe they get hot and they put together a great roster every now and then, and they can compete for 1 to 2 years, maybe playoff, not championship. That's the way I view college sports right now. Big budgets, okay, you're going to have a great payroll, you're going to have a great roster. Low budgets, okay, well, you have to spend very wisely with the little resources you have.
Yeah, and I think you can actually see a lot more parity still in college basketball compared, or college sports compared to the professionals, only because, well, maybe that's not even true. But you still have the ability to find talent and recruit it versus in the pros, that your pool is so much smaller and everybody knows who everybody is, I think, to a degree.
Yeah, and you have parity in pro sports, too, in the sense that you have a draft, right?
Right, yeah, right.
In baseball, it's not as significant because the MLB draft is a bigger crapshoot than the NBA draft and the NFL draft. And even if it's not a crapshoot, you have to wait multiple years before you even get to, like, you know, reap the benefit of a said draft pick that you might have. So the markets are more important. And baseball's not capped. You know, the NFL has a cap. The NBA has a cap. Baseball does not. So it kind of skews that calculus there a little bit as well. But, yeah, I can't root for Dallas. Sorry about it. 713-780-ESPN. What I've learned, too, by, like, kind of stirring up this conversation, is it's pretty split. And I'm surprised by that as a Houstonian. I thought it would be like 70-30, no, screw Dallas. We're never rooting for Dallas. Give me the Edmonton Oilers. On the text line now, Stars fan since they moved from Minnesota. That's interesting. Like, I wonder if that fan who has a Houston area code was, like, from Minnesota.
But is Houston to Dallas, is it's more of a cultural Texas rival than it is a sports rival, because it's not like the Cowboys and Texans have a rivalry.
Oh, I disagree.
Well, not from a playing standpoint.
No, it's a fan base rivalry.
Well, that's my point. It like the New York and Boston one is a sports centric rival that's now turned into a cultural rival, but it started with the sports. Same thing with you know, Chicago and Detroit or Michigan and Ohio State. That's obviously a little deeper one. But the point is, Texans and Cowboys are not rivals. Rockets and Mavericks, I guess to a degree, they're at least in the Western Conference. But Rangers and Astros, Astros are new to the AL.
Yeah, but they've had a lot of – I mean, they had a playoff series history. A couple of years ago.
Yeah, but having a playoff series – my point is, do you swear off Dallas? Like, you hate Dallas because of the sports rivalry or because they think that they're uppity and better than Houston? It's more of a city rivalry.
I think it's a combination of all of it.
Yeah.
I think it's a combination – now –
the 30,000 millionaires over there.
It's true. I do think that it has a lot of the city rivalry stuff, though. Like, because I'm with you that the actual, you know, Rangers, Astros, Mavs, Rockets, Cowboys, Texans doesn't have the hatred of a lot of the other rivalries. Like, Rangers, Astros isn't Red Sox, Yankees. Mavs, Rockets isn't even Pacers, Knicks, really. The Cowboys, Texans isn't basically any rivalry in the NFC East. So, like, I'm with you there. It does have a lot of bad blood with the cities, though. I do think that Dallas and Houston have a disdain for each other. And I probably feel it more from Houston towards Dallas, directed towards Dallas, than vice versa. Like, I feel like Houston hates Dallas more than Dallas hates Houston, if that makes any sense.
1,000%. And for better or worse, I understand why Houston feels that way, because Houston doesn't get the national love that Dallas does, because Dallas has Jerry Jones and they have America's team, whether it is or isn't, whatever that means. And Dallas is a smaller city than Houston, yet they get all that attention. And they have, you know, the rich hoity-toity, you know, flashy owners and Mark Cuban. You know, we have a quieter Jim Crane type of guy. And so I understand why, because Houston doesn't get the credit it deserves. It's got a much better food scene. It's a bigger city. You can say it's a better city, whatever. But I understand why Houston feels that way towards Dallas, and Dallas doesn't have to think about Houston because Dallas gets all the national love.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. As a follower of the NHL playoffs, you might not even have an allegiance, but as a follower of the NHL playoffs, as a Houstonian, is it okay to pull for the Dallas Stars? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
A couple of the Twitchers on the Can You Root for the Stars? King of Twitch, not rooting for a team till one gets here. I really want NHL in Houston. I'm going to go all in when the NHL comes to Houston. I'm going to be all in, knee deep, talk hockey every day. Can't
Would
wait.
You rather WNBA or NHL?
Oh, NHL. NHL. And I like women's basketball. I call women's basketball. Like, I'm not opposed to women's basketball. But unless I have Caitlin Clark, like, give me the NHL.
Yeah, I dig.
What about
exactly.
You?
Unless I have Caitlin Clark, I'm good.
Yeah. I mean, Comet's greatest WNBA dynasty of all time.
Van Chancellor, greatest coach of all time.
You had him on with Kicking It with Kunkel, too.
I
did. Didn't you?
He wanted to say Caitlin Clark was the best player in the league, but was nervous.
I mean, why? The public backlash or what?
Yeah. And okay. A former player of his has bashed Caitlin with no knowledge or any sort of actual thought behind it, and he didn't want to deal with that.
Did you see her latest, Cheryl Swoops, did you see her latest talking about the foul with Caitlin?
She is out of her mind.
Yeah, she is.
Like, she's just wrong. It's like when you buy an ugly couch and you try to build around it, and you're like, you just try to justify it by building more and more around it. It's like, dude, the couch is still ugly. Stop doubling down, stupid on stupid.
Yeah.
It's just so weird. Clearly, I mean, it's obvious that she just dislikes Caitlin Clark.
She does. Yeah, she does. Junior Bronco says that it's an insult that you asked me that, WNBA or NHL. Don't insult me like that again.
That was the idea.
I'll cheer for the Dallas Stars over Edmonton and anyone else Edmonton plays. I'm from Calgary, and those cities have been arch enemies in every sport forever. Okay, well, that you probably have to take yourself out of the conversation then, like, because we're talking about Houstonians. Houstonians, is it okay to root for the Dallas Stars in the NHL playoffs? I'm a Cowboy fan and a Rocket Astro fan. You get a lot of those. A lot of Houston sports fans that are Cowboys, not Oilers. But he said, I've never understood the Cowboys-Texans rivalry. They play like every 4 years. I will pull for the Texans as long as they aren't playing Dallas. Do hate the Rangers, though, LOL Corey. That's more about the cities. Like what we're talking about.
That's interesting because I got a buddy who's a Canadian and he lives here in Houston and he's a Flames fan, but he certainly cheers for some Leafs or for some Canadian teams because he's Canadian. But like that last texter said, there's so many rivalries up there. When does the rivalry say, I'd rather cheer for an American team than a Canadian? Can you cheer for the Dallas Stars because they're Texas and you want a Texas team to win?
Yeah, it's kind of like the SEC. Like, the SEC wants to rip their throats out all the time, but then they will root for the SEC against other conferences. Like, that's also pretty fascinating to me, which I get that, though, because, like, you're trying to put the conference at a higher tier, and the SEC's at the highest. There's no argument there. 100% okay to pull for the Stars. They are Texas's team, just happened to be based in Dallas. Would you not cheer for an Olympian who happened to be from Dallas but was representing the USA? It's the same concept. I don't agree at all. It's like, it's totally different. It's like having a Dallas athlete that plays for the Astros. Like, it's not about where the athlete came from. It's about the city that they're representing at the professional level.
If that was the case, then most of the hockey teams are actually Canadian.
Yeah.
They're not American players, most of them.
I wonder, exactly. Yeah.
Or Russian.
I wonder if more Houston fans hate the Cowboys or the Rangers.
Cowboys.
I disagree, because I think there's a lot of Cowboy fans in Houston.
Well, I agree with that, but I think hate the Cowboys.
And he said Houston fans, too, so like that kind of it kind of narrows down the pool we're talking about. If you went Houston population, I would say there's more hate for the Rangers than the Cowboys. But if you're just going Houston fans, I think that shrinks the pool of people we're talking about here, and I think there would be more hate for the Cowboys.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the Cowboys are – you've got a lot of love for the Cowboys as much as you do maybe hate, but the Cowboys are – a lot of people just are so annoyed with the fact that they get so much attention in the offseason on ESPN. About what are they going to do at left guard? Like, who cares? They haven't won a playoff game in 15 years.
You're right that does happen. I just never really – watch those shows, I guess, to care, I guess, enough about it. Like, it's not it doesn't move my needle, I guess. I cheer for all the Dallas teams as long as they're not playing Houston teams. That might be the most bizarre rooting interest.
Split jersey guy.
Yeah, like, that one's odd to me. I can't root for anything Dallas because I'm originally from Philly. Okay, it's a little different than a Houston NHL fan that doesn't have an allegiance. Not talking Astros right now. Dallas doesn't have an NFL team. Ooh, boom, roasted. Because they're in Arlington. Jasper, like Aggies, hate the Horns, but the Longhorns don't even care about the Aggies. I think that the Aggies hate the Longhorns more than the Longhorns hate the Aggies. I think that's fair. But the Longhorns do hate the Aggies.
For sure. But, yeah, like, Texas doesn't really care about anyone much else but themselves.
Uh-huh.
And take that however you want.
Yep. This texture says Dallas doesn't think about Houston. It's not a rivalry. For whatever reason, Dallas lives in y'all's head rent-free, says the 713 area code. I disagree with that. Like, go look at what Ranger fans do every time Jose Altuve comes to the box. And you're going to tell me that Dallas doesn't think about Houston, but every time Jose Altuve comes to the box, they're booing him, and the Rangers broadcasters, like, spewing off nonsense about the Houston Astros all the time. Their pregame show is always talking about how this isn't the Astros division anymore. Dallas might not think about Houston from a Mavericks perspective and a Cowboys perspective, but that absolutely does not exist when it comes to the Astros.
But to be fair, they were in Tampa, and the crowd lambasted Jose Altuve, as he gets lambasted everywhere he goes on the road, to be honest. It's arguably the loudest moment of the game at times. And he was – you could – because it's a smaller stadium down in Tampa right now because they're playing at George Steinbrenner Field. You could hear the fans just screaming, "Cheater! Cheater!" Like, he gets it from everyone.
The crowd mic was fun that series. Like, it was very – you could pick up everything on the crowd mic. Thumbs down, Dallas is worse than Canada. There you go. Pulling for a Canadian team over a Dallas team because we hate Dallas. Let's see. I grew up an Army baby traveling all over. I'm a Cowboy fan from a little boy due to my father. I settled in the Houston area and full-on Astros fan. I also pull for the Texans for the hometown love and have been to many games because I love football. My Texans fan friends tell me that's not allowed, but whatever. And then he says, F the Rangers. Can you pull for the Cowboys and the Texans?
Yes. It's weird because it's weird to just pull for two teams. But my point when I say yes is because they're inherently just don't play. And, like, who cares? They're irrelevant to each other.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that. I don't hate the Cowboys, but it's funny to me when they lose. I definitely hate the Rangers. I just can't stand Dallas's fans and fan base, says a texter. Are y'all really surprised that opposing teams boo your players? No. We're just talking about the level of hate that people have. Dallas is just part of South Oklahoma. That's true. Dallas is more like South Oklahoma, says another texter. So that also exists. Now, it was interesting a few years ago when the Rangers beat the Astros in the ALCS to go to the World Series, and then they eventually won their only World Series in franchise history in 2023. There was a few prominent sports figures in the city that were rooting for the Rangers to win the World Series because of the Texas Alliance. That's crazier than rooting for the Dallas Stars. I'm sorry.
Well, who was it?
I think one was the Baytown Baddie, and I think the other one was John McClain, right, Brian? Brian's away from the board, but I'm pretty sure it was those two. I know it was the Baytown Baddie.
I don't know about McClain, but certainly Sterner was.
Yeah, 100% on that one. I'm like 80% sure that McClain said the same thing. Which that's nuts. Like, how could you pull for the Rangers to win a World Series?
But to be fair, is McClain – McClain is probably, you know, was a journalist and probably doesn't have, like, a fandom tie.
I disagree with that. I think McClain pulls for Houston teams now because he's been here forever. And he comments about him a lot, too. Like, I think McClain pulls for him.
I agree with that, but I don't think he has that hatred towards their rivalry because of it.
Huh. Yeah.
Man, like, I think you can be – like, I've gotten to the point where I can just kind of want to watch good baseball and want to see whatever team win no matter what. Like, I don't really care. Like, I don't care if the Rangers win. No skin off my back.
Oh, I care.
I know you do.
I absolutely care. Absolutely.
But I'd rather the Astros win, of course.
Yeah.
Like, if it's Astros-Rangers, I want Astros to win every day. But if it's Rangers versus another team, I'm not anti-Rangers. I just want to see seven games.
I could see. Yeah. I see your point. I don't share that point, but you just want to watch good ball at that point. Mm-hmm. Like, I hear you on that. Rangers won the World Series, and I woke up with a fever, says a texter. That's how much I hate them. I hear you on that. My favorite two teams are the Houston Texans and the team that plays the Dallas Cowboys. I hear you on that. Rangers losing is just as good as Astros winning. I won't go that far, but it's pretty darn close. All right, let's go out to the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. H-Town Wilhouse in the Hive. What's up, H-Town?
What's up, fellas? This is an interesting topic because, believe it or not, I've actually rooted for the Stars for quite a long time, and it goes back to my college days. The first NHL game I ever went to was the Dallas Stars game versus the Phoenix Coyotes, and when Darian Hatcher absolutely crushed Jeremy Roenick, broke his jaw in several places, and it was getting back for a back check on Mike Modano like 3 weeks before that. So my introduction to the NHL was almost a gladiator-style, you know, the Roman screaming for blood type of experience. Now, I root for them, but I'm not like a rabid fan. I don't have Dallas Stars jerseys in my closet. I don't even own anything that says Dallas Stars. But I root for them because of that reason. But the second Houston gets a hockey team, I'm done. Okay. I'm done with the Stars.
There you go. Appreciate it, H-Town Wilhouse.
I think that's going to be harder than you think to do, to drop your team, because – you know, there's certain teams I grew up watching that I've stopped watching over the years, yet when they come on the TV, something about the uniform and seeing them out there, you're like, you're right back in it.
Yeah. See, I don't have that perspective because I've never known anything but Houston. I haven't experienced. I'm not cultured. Prodigal Vault on Twitter, I love the irony of Houston NHL fans becoming Oilers fans for a series again. That's the thing. Give me the nostalgia of being an Oilers fan once more. Carlos on Twitter, Houstonians don't like anything Dallas, but we're okay with Austin and San Antonio. See, I don't disagree with that. Like, I mean, Austin doesn't have pro sports. I'm not a huge Texas guy. But I don't mind the Spurs. Like, the Spurs, I kind of respect the Spurs, really. I like Popovich a lot. It's a Dallas thing. I don't mind San Antonio.
But I like Texas A&M. When I say I like, I like to see them win. I like to see Texas win. I like to see Houston win. I like to see all the fan bases win because, for me, I don't have any ties. I don't care. I want them all to win because it's a lot more fun. Like, the city's more fun when I walk into an ice house and everyone's going crazy. It's a good time.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you on that. Keith from L.A., if you want to watch good baseball, watch the Dodgers. Shut up, Keith from L.A. F. Chandler Parsons said a texter, I'm a Cowboys fan and not a Texans fan. I don't root for the Texans, but I do want them to succeed because I live here, even though I don't think most fans deserve it. But I think y'all do, especially you, Branham, and Lance. Huh, I wonder why I got singled out there. Dallas smells people's own farts. It's a good way to end the segment, I think. 713-780-ESPN. Let's get to Bad Take Boulevard. What are the worst takes of the week? What belongs on Bad Take Boulevard this week? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Whirlpool kitchen appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your kitchen's unique needs and style. Shop Whirlpool 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.